Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Senate Finance. We're going to be hearing Senate Bill number 138, and we have the CS in front of us finally. The roll is Senator Meyer, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, Senator Fairclough, and myself, Senator Kelly. As I said, you have a CS in front of you. I need a motion to adopt that, please. Senator Fairclough?
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the Senate Finance CS for Senate Bill 138, the working draft 28-GS2806/Y for purposes of discussion.
I'm going to go ahead and object for purposes of discussion. Bruce, can you come up and walk us through the changes here? Just so you know, we have some things that are going to be removed from this. We need a draft to work on. We're going to amend. All these amendments are written to this draft. At the end, we're going to pull out Section 1. Here's my intention. If the committee agrees, we can do that tomorrow or tonight if there's time. Pull out Section 1, and then we will include a letter of intent that will travel with the bill that will suffice for what was in Section 1. So, Bruce Campbell, go ahead, Bruce, state your name and affiliation for the record and walk us through the what the changes between the resource CS and the finance CS is.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Bruce Campbell, Office of Senator Pete Kelly, not the movie star, but I realize you could be confused here. So, I'd like to go through quickly some of the changes. You'll have in your packet a little set of information dated March 11th, 2014 that gives a quick overview of the changes to the draft.
Go ahead and we'll wait while everyone makes sure they have the copy. Everybody got one? We're good? Senator Meyer, you're good? Okay. Go ahead, Bruce.
The first changes are in the title, and we'll explain those as we go through the, they are simply conforming to some of the changes in the bill. In this CS, the intent language has been modified. On page 4, line 24, the word maximum is removed and for clarity, and the term project labor agreements is amended to read labor agreements. In the sections of the bill related that have been added to the bill, we have new AGDC language. Yes?
Bruce, just for a second there, yes. I know there are a lot of people that were concerned about the language regarding the labor agreements, and that was the portion that I said was going to be removed tomorrow, and then the letter of intent will replace that. So it's somewhat of a moot point what's in this CS right now if, in fact, we adopt that intent language.
Right.
Just so everybody knows, that's kind of temporary. Go ahead.
Yes. So we have several new sections that have been replaced in the bill regarding the AGDC. In this language, the CS makes extensive changes to AGDC, including removal of language creating a new subsidiary. We've referred to the AGDCS in casual conversation. That's gone. We now have the duty instead to AGDC. So page 4, line 30 to page 5, line 9, we have overall direction to AGDC, giving AGDC the primary state role in advancing an Alaska liquefied natural gas project.
Bruce, I'm going to just pause for a second and let everybody read over those paragraphs if you want to. Back on the record. Go ahead, Bruce.
So on page 5, lines 18 through 25, you'll see dark bold print. that modifies the original direction to participate in an Alaska liquefied natural gas project. We've added AGDC can't charge a state entity more for gas services than it costs to provide those services. So we're adding to the AGDC purpose the AKLNG project. Page 6, lines 7 and 8. Adds to AGD's structure that is created to act in the best interest of the state based on its purpose. Page 6, lines 24 through 28, clarifying the relationship between AGDC and state departments and also directly involved a gas project prohibits commissioners of natural resources and revenue from serving on AGDC's board. This is part of the original HB 4 prohibition that lasted only through AGEA. And this takes that AGEA reference out. On page 6, line 29 to page 7, line 6, we have a new subsection directing AGDC's board to the maximum extent possible to maximize efficient use of state resources and to establish appropriate firewalls and separations within the corporation to protect commercially sensitive information. On page 7, Section 6, we're making conforming changes, adding AKLNG to the appropriate sections of AGDC language. We're no longer having a subsidiary, we're actually putting this into the original AGDC corporate language. Page 9. Lines 6 to 7, the more conforming language adding Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project Fund. Page 9, lines 18 through 24, adds a new ability to AGDC to acquire an ownership role in an Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project, including liquefaction facilities. And later on page 10, lines 7 through 10, we'll add a new subsection that restricts part of AGC working on the in-state pipeline from exercising the new powers related to the liquefaction project. On page 9, lines 26 to 27, we have some more conforming language. Only an in-state natural gas pipeline regulated by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska is required to hold an open season. The Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project would not have an open season and so would not have to disclose results. Page 10, lines 11 through 15, adds a new subsection directing AGDC to provide information relevant to royalty and tax paid with gas contracts to DNR and DOR, subject to confidentiality agreements. Page 11, lines 27 through 30, clarifies that AGDC can create subsidiaries, incorporated as nonprofits or otherwise. Page 12, section 13, removes changes to the definition of in-state natural gas pipeline, adds the new term Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project, and defines it in the same terms as in the heads of agreement for the AKLNG project. There's a typo in my outline here. I don't think this is page 56. I think this is... Page 56. 3125.080F, which previously...
Bruce, can you wait just a moment? I have to get back.
Bruce Campbell again, continuing. This repeals, on page 56, line 14, repeals 3125.080F, which previously directed AGDC to accommodate a larger project on certain infrastructure. As this direction is now more fully articulated in AGDC's purpose and the new Section 5, this Section 3125.080F is no longer required. So returning back to page 15, lines 7 through 8 clarifies agreements to be entered into by the Department of Natural Resources Commissioner include, but are not limited to, balancing, marketing, disposition of gas, and offtake agreements. This is a Faircloth amendment. Page 15, lines 21 through 23, conform to legislative drafting style, rewords the requirement the Commissioner may share confidential information with the legislature only in executive session. Page 18, line 8 to page 20, line 9, reworks sessions 18 and 19 related to the commissioner's ability to modify leases for greater clarity. This is an administration request amendment. Page 18, lines 29 through 31, modifies net profit shares and sliding scale royalty rates to yield a value to the state that is no less than the value the state would have received before a modification. Previously, the lower threshold for modification was set at 12.5%. Page 20, lines 14 through 15, 23 through 24, 30 through 31, and page 21, lines 9 through 11 are conforming changes for clarity. If we jump on to page 21, lines 23 through 28, adds a new term, initial project term. This is an administration amendment. A new definition. Page 22, line 4 through 24, adds three new sections with conforming changes. House Bill 369 of 2010 gave special treatment to permits, authorizations, and right-of-ways issued to an in-state natural gas pipeline project. The changes make those provisions apply to any project under AGDC. This is also an administration amendment. DNR authority section, page 28. I think this is one of our technical, yes, we have a technical correction on page 28. There is a missing number 15 in here, just a renumbering of these, and we'll work on that and explain it in our technical corrections. The tax section starts on page 28, lines 9 through page 29, line 5. The original bill amended the extraction factor used in calculating corporate income tax to accommodate the new concept of taking gas as a production tax. This section is new and amends the sales factor, which is also used in calculating corporate income tax, to incorporate the new tax as gas concept. And what we find is that there is a drafting error in the section 34 and 33 are duplicated, and we've been asked to, in fact, remove both sections 33 and 34. You'll see an amendment to follow at a later date. Page 30, line 10 and 19 through 21. Clarifies that reinjected gas is not included in calculations for determining corporate income tax. Page 31, Line 11 increases the tax on gas from 10.5% to 13%. This is a Kelly amendment. And we do that throughout the language. Page 33, line 6. Removes the qualifier irrevocable from the election a producer can make to pay tax with gas. This is a Kelly amendment resolving an issue raised by our alleged legal at the possible constitutional question of irrevocable. Page 33, line 12 and line 15 conforms to the prior change increasing the gas tax to 13%. Page 34, lines 21 to page 35, line 3, conforming the change related to conforming changes already in the prior version related to the educational tax credit. And we jump to page 42, line 11. Which conformed the new 13% gas tax. Page 56, lines 6 and 7, the bill changes the definition of point of production as the term is used in the Alaska Gasoline Inducement Act. This new section 57 clarifies that point of production for purposes of AGIA is defined as it was when AGIA was enacted. This is an administration requested amendment. And we have technical sections, page 56, lines 15 through 25, adds new direction to the governor to establish an advisory board on municipal involvement in North Slope gas project. This is an Olson amendment. Page 56, line 26 to page 57, line 16, adds new direction to the Alaska Energy Authority to develop a plan to extend energy infrastructure in parts of the state without direct access to a North Slope gas pipeline. AEA is to consult with AGDC, AEA, and the Department of Natural Revenue in developing the plan, which is due to the legislature in January 2017. This is a Hoffman amendment. Also on page 57, lines 19 through 20, line 24, line 27, and page 58, in the section requiring the Department of Revenue to develop a plan for Alaskans to participate in owning part of the North Slope natural gas pipeline, adds that the plan should include ways for local governments and native corporations to also participate. That is a Fairclough Olson amendment. Awesome. Page 59, lines 4 and 5 and lines 7 and 8, makes conforming changes to the effective dates. And laid on page 59, line 6, sets an effective date of January 1, 2021 for section 40, which is a conforming section related to the education tax credit.
Thanks, Bruce. Good job. Joe and Mike, could you come up for a few moments? I would imagine the members of the committee may have a few questions for you.
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh, gee.
The trifecta. The triple double. We'll wait.
So, gentlemen, if you could just be available for questions, and I have a few here, and I just kind of want you to comment on a few of the changes here. Page 6, line 24 through 28. You know, the next time I see your wife, she better be pregnant, because there has to be a reason.
am I.
So, page 6, line 24 through 28, would you walk through that with us, please, and just kind of explain the AGIO licensing and when it...
Brevities.
On the record, Mike and Joe, we have an amendment that actually deals with this section, so could you just walk through it, and then I think it's going to be out of order, but without objection from the committee, we'll take that amendment up now, and we'll just deal with it, so that you don't have to come back and explain it later when we get to this. The committee has a problem. It's amendment number 10, I think, isn't it? And I have an objection that I need to remove. And I remove my objection. Thank you, Senator Fairclough. The amazing vice chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 10.
I will object for purposes of discussion. Commissioner Balash and Deputy Commissioner Pulaski, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Joe Balash, Commissioner Designee for the Department of Natural Resources. On page 6, line 18, section 4 is a provision that was not in the original bill. Current law holds that the board of...
Joe, if I could just get you a little closer to that microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Current law holds that the board of directors for AGDC is comprised of 5 public members and 2 cabinet members. However, there's a restriction on the Departments of Natural Resources and Revenue from serving as board members so long as there is an AGIO license in place. The original version of Senate Bill 138 did not include the proposed language here because the expectation was that enabling legislation passes, the AGIO license is wound up, and then the governor has full freedom to appoint whichever of his cabinet members he might want to the AGDC board. The language that's been added here in Section 4 would restrict the governor's discretion in which cabinet members he puts on the board permanently.
Senator Fairclough, did you want to speak to that?
Mr. Chairman, my intention is to allow the Department of Revenue and the Department of Natural Resources, through their commissioners, to bring that expertise to AGDC's board and protect the interest of Alaskans.
I'm going to remove my objections. Are there other objections, or anyone else wants to speak to the amendment? That objection, amendment number 10, is adopted. So, another place that I would like you to speak to is page 18, line 29 through 31, that's the modifications to net profit shares and sliding scale royalty rates. Could you just enlighten the committee a little bit on that topic, please?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Designee Balash again. This section is basically a rewrite of the original HH proposed in Senate Bill 138. This section of the statute is allowing for the modification of existing leases, in particular for the switching rights that the department currently enjoys going back and forth between in-kind and in-value. Additionally, there are provisions related to taking those leases that have a net profit share component or a sliding scale royalty component and developing a modification that would establish a fixed addition to the base royalty rate. And this is work that kind of got started in the Resources Committee, but as members continued to examine the question and the wording in this provision, there were some concerns about whether it was narrowly tailored to do the job we think needs to be done. So we went back and have tightened up the language quite a bit to make really clear when and under what circumstances we can A, modify the leases for switching purposes, and B, convert these sliding scales and NPSLs into a fixed royalty on top of our base royalty and those types of leases.
Any other questions from the committee on that? Okay. Stand by, gentlemen. Actually, those are the questions that I have. Are there questions that the committee has on other parts of the CS? Senator Fairclough, before you answer, Mr. Pulaski, did you have a comment on what we've talked about so far?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mike Pulaski, Deputy Commissioner of Revenue. I just wanted to thank the member from Kenai and the Resources Committee who did a lot of work with the administration on the provisions that Commissioner Designee Balash spoke about. This has been a collaborative exercise since then.
He's been working with our committee as well. Senator Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 18, line 28, then this is the change from a floor or a ceiling. We had a fixed number in there, I believe, and now we have language. And so the underlying question is, it's still capped at 25%.
Through the chair, Senator Fairclough, the language that came out of the Senate Resources Committee established 12.5% as the floor, and the concern that had been identified was that some of the leases in question actually have a higher royalty rate than that, particularly some of the Point Thompson leases. And so saying 12.5% was the floor would actually give us room to lower base royalty rates, which is not the intention here.
Senator Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's still a combined rate cap of 25, is that correct? Or not, under this provision?
Senator Fairclough, through the chair, Mike Pulaski, Deputy Commissioner of Revenue. The 13% tax rate that the committee substitute before you has amended in combination with this section leads to the approximately 25%.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Thank you, gentlemen. You might want to, Senator Fairclough?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I didn't want to monopolize if someone else had something else. On page 56, lines 6 and 7, can you please explain to the committee how the definition of point of production that was in the previous CS is different than under 4355-900?
Thank you, Senator Fairclough, through the chair. Mike Pulaski again for the record. I think in answering this question, I would ask members to instead turn to page 54, beginning on line 30. The The substantive changes to the point of production proposed by this bill are found on page 55, but the section begins on page 54, line 30. Members will recall that in the calculation of our production tax, the expenditures upstream from the point of production are deductible lease expenditures, while expenditures downstream of the point of production are recovered through tariffs or fees on the infrastructure. The change in page 55, line 12, is to push that point of production upstream to be clear, that is the farthest upstream of the inlet of any pipeline transporting the gas to a gas treatment plant. This was a key cooperation with the previous committee, setting that point of production as far upstream within the definition of the Alaska LNG project as possible. As it's conceived right now, the inlet of that transmission line for Point Thompson would be as the gas is leaving Point Thompson. In Prudhoe Bay, it would be the transmission line from the Prudhoe Bay unit into the gas treatment plant. The important part of that is that expenditures from that point downstream will not be included as deductible lease expenditures. They won't have that impact on our upstream fiscal system directly. The change on page 56, I believe, was actually recommended by Legislative Legal, and this is to recommend that the point of production, the reason we changed the definition in the first place to move that definition upstream and protect the state in terms of the lease expenditures is different than it existed under the previous law. But there were inducements offered under the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act that were tied to the point of production. So this is a clarifying amendment that's necessary because of the change made in the legislation before you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If you gentlemen could stay there, we may have a need of your services as we go through some of these amendments. Do you mind just hanging out?
Sure.
Senator Hoffman has withdrawn amendment number one. Is that correct, Senator Hoffman? Without objection.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Without objection, amendment number one is withdrawn. Amendment number two by Senator Olson has been withdrawn.
That's correct, Mr.
Chairman. Are there objections? Hearing none, that amendment is withdrawn. Senator Olson, amendment number three.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number three.
I'll object. Go ahead.
Amendment number three is introduced to go ahead and protect Alaska's interests. Non-compete clauses are common in the business practice with the intent of being able to retain key employees, protecting confidential information, and preserving institutional knowledge. As Larry personally stated on the record the other night, if Alaska wants to act like they're in the oil and gas business, if Alaska wants to be in the oil and gas business, they act like they're in the oil and gas business. And so because of that, I went in and put this in, because in the past, well, if this bill becomes law, we'll go down a path where Alaska will become an equity owner of the Alaska Liquid Natural Gas project. Losing an experienced member of our negotiating and development team to a competitor can be devastating to Alaska's interests. We need to protect Alaska's interests. As was pointed out in the past, there have been situations where key people in state service have gone off and become employees of the industry in which some people find reprehensible, as was the case when the ELF was negotiated back 20 or 30 years ago when one of the commissioners went forward. With that, Mr. Chairman, I offer ask for your support on amendment number three, with the idea that on further research after looking at it, on line 12 of the amendment says it's for 10 years. On research, it's in the industry standard is for 3 years. So I'd certainly be open to any objection or have a friendly amendment to this amendment that would change it from the 10-year limit to the 3-year limit on line 12.
Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I move an amendment on amendment number 3, page 1, line 12, delete 10, insert 3.
Are there objections?
No.
The amendment to the amendment is adopted. The amendment is before us. Are there objections to the amendment number 3 as amended? Hearing none, amendment number 3 is adopted. I'm going to take a brief at ease. Amendment 4, I'm withdrawing amendment number 4. Other objection?
You want to explain it?
For members of the committee, this, I was contemplating the idea of the Attorney General as being legal counsel. It was a request from the administration. It is my thinking that we need this corporation to be able to hire the best, and they need to be very fluid and fast, and we're probably going to end up paying a lot for them, but we need to have the best possible and most available people working on this. The workings of the Department of Law, they do a very good job protecting the interests of the state, but they are a very large state agency and do not respond possibly as quickly, nor do they have the depth of talent probably that we might need for a specific project of this size. So I am going to remove it if there are no objections. Hearing none, amendment number 4 is withdrawn. Amendment number 5, withdrawing amendment number 5, member Fides. Amendment number 5, I'm going to withdraw under consultation with the department, or excuse me, with the administration. It was thought that this may be covered in some other parts in the bill, and we will monitor this as it goes through the process. Hearing no objections to withdrawing amendment number 5, it is withdrawn. Fides. record. Mr. Pawlowski and Commissioner Balash, amendment number six is, I'm going to move amendment number six, and if you could speak to it, please. There is objection. Could you speak to this amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Joe Balash again. This particular provision is one that is an effort on our part to reconcile where we had started with the statutory subsidiary that was in the original SB 138. As we've worked through the process, taken into account the specific concerns that members had on having sort of two separate vehicles, to bring them all under one roof makes sense. We think we've been able to address some of the concerns we had that led to the original drafting structure. However, the work that AGDC has done to date has been focused on a pipeline and GTP alone. In our construct, AGDC would continue to pursue that ASAP effort, but now hold the state's interest and advance the state's interest in the liquefaction, which requires a different skill set than perhaps they have now. So the thinking here was this was a way to identify very clearly somebody who would have the responsibility for the liquefaction component here, and that person would be hired by the board and report to the executive director.
Any other questions by the committee? Is the objection maintained?
I remove my
amendment number six is passed. Mr. Balash, could you speak to number seven? Excuse me, Allison, did I move amendment number seven? I will move amendment number seven.
Object.
Mr. Balash.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number seven would add to the list of powers and duties of the corporation a provision that, after consultation with the Commissioner of Revenue and the Commissioner of Natural Resources, enter into contracts for the AKLNG project. And really this is an effort to flag the role that DOR and DNR will play in this arrangement. AGDC will be signing the equity agreements with the other project sponsors, but they're doing so on our behalf at DNR and DOR. And so what we're looking for here is to make sure that the two agencies are in fact consulted in the development of those contracts before they execute them.
Is the objection maintained?
I would withdraw my objection.
Without objection, amendment number seven is passed. Amendment number eight.
Object.
This just edits the purpose language of AGDC to match the Alaska Constitution, Article 8, Section 2, for the maximum benefit of the people.
I remove my objection.
Number 8 is adopted. I will move amendment number 9.
Object.
This is the portion that removes section number the section number 1 that I spoke to at the beginning of our meeting. It removes section number 1, and when we move out with the will of the committee, we will attach intent language that will satisfy that. So without objection, we have the intent language. I think that moves with the bill. We don't actually adopt that. So we would, tomorrow when we have the CS before us, we'll attach that intent language. Is the committee okay with that? All right. Thank you. That amendment is passed. On the record, tomorrow we will go through the fiscal notes and adopt the CS, and I believe Senator Hoffman and Senator Bishop have co-sponsored an amendment that we'll take a look at. Okay. I think without further business, SB 138, we will send it off to the drafters and call this meeting to Senator Meyer. Do we have business that you...
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we have a little bit of work to do on the crime bill. We're going to introduce that CS is what we're actually doing.
Tomorrow?
No, tonight.
Tonight, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. So we're going to take it at ease, and thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your help. We're going to take it at ease as we kind of switch out the chairman here. Thank you all.
Okay, we're bringing Senate Finance back to order. Let's see. We have everybody still with the same folks, Senator Kelly, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, and Vice Chair Fairclough. We are now taking up Senate Bill 64, the Omnibus Crime Bill. Before we get a motion for the CS, I don't see the birthday girl here, but I want to wish the birthday girl a happy birthday. Donnie?
Happy birthday, Donnie.
Donnie. What happened to Donnie? She's in Senator Kelly's office. Okay. Anyway, it's Donnie's birthday, so everybody please wish her a happy birthday. Okay, so Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Bill number 64, Finance 28-LS0116/S, dated 3/10/2014, before the committee.
Okay, is there any objections to having the CS before us? Seeing and hearing none, the CS is before us. I'll ask my staff, Christine Marsigan, if she could explain the changes. So, Christine, if you could please... why don't you just remain standing up so we can see you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. You know what? You have been absolved of all donut issues.
Forgive me. We still have half a session here yet, so I
not you.
It's a bad comeback.
Okay. Christine, if you could put your name on the record.
For the record, my name is Christine Marsigan, staff to Senator Kevin Meyer, and yes, I am 4'10¾".
Okay.
You have before you version S, the Senate Finance CS for Senate Bill 64. I have prepared a handout for you that shows the differences between version D and version S. The first page goes through the major changes that were made. I will go through those main changes, and with your permission, Mr. Chair, and then go through the bill to point out where those are.
Please.
First of all, the CS changes the felony theft level from $750 to $1,200. This was after consensus, after some discussion at the Senate Finance Committee meeting this morning. Secondly, it moves the 24/7 sobriety testing program from the Department of Corrections to the Department of Health and Social Services. In a call to the Department of Health and Social Services, there's a three-year pilot project for 24/7 alcohol drug testing in the communities of Anchorage, Matson, Fairbanks, and it is thought that by moving this to that program, we will realize some cost savings. Third, moving the Recidivism Reduction Fund from the Department of Corrections to the Department of Health and Social Services will also realize some cost savings since DOC does not have receipt or granting authority, HESS does. And in fact, they wouldn't have to ramp up with any kind of infrastructure to deal with grant funding authority. In fact, I think in the fiscal note, there was a mention of 5 or 6 positions in Department of Corrections under HESS that can be reduced to 1. The next change is it completely removes the Alaska Criminal Justice Commission. After a committee discussion where there were ideas thrown out about a task force or potentially sunsetting the commission or making it shorter in duration, it was pointed out that the state of Alaska actually funds a number of research think tanks and groups that actually study this type of issue. There are a number of places that this can be studied, such as the UAA Justice Center, Alaska Native Justice Center, Alaska Immigration Justice Project, Recidivism Working Group. All of these people work on these types of issues, and they should work on this particular issue without creating another commission. Lastly, and this is a new change in the bill, this is brand new language to the bill. Most of the language in the bill stays the same, but this is new language, and this was done in consultation with both co-chairs, the vice chair and the Alaska Mental Trust Authority. It adds a screening for fetal alcohol syndrome, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, and other brain-based disorders.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, do you need additional information to go through the bill line by line, or would you like any additional information?
You know, I don't think we need to go through it line by line. We don't know yet what the savings is going to be to the fiscal note. correct, until we get the fiscal notes tonight or tomorrow morning?
That is correct, sir. This CS before you couldn't have been possible without the cooperation of the Department of Corrections and the Department of Health and Social Services, and also a number of staff provided a great amount of input. Staff from all of the senators at the table were very helpful in getting the language that was needed to make the decisions that had to be done for the bill to realize some cost savings. It is my understanding, too, that also with the elimination of the Alaska Criminal Justice Commission, we will realize a zero fiscal note from the Alaska court system. And I would imagine also by moving those two programs, specifically the 24/7 and the Recidivism Grant Fund to HESS, we will also realize savings there as well.
Okay, thank you, Christine. Yeah, they all along. It's a darn good bill, by the way. I want to thank the sponsor, Senator Coghill. The concern was the cost, and I think we made our best effort here at trying to reduce the cost. It's not perfect. I mean, I'm sure we're going to hear some folks saying that the felony level going up to 1,200 is too much. But we also, and then moving some things around from corrections to HESS, appreciate the cooperation there between the departments. There'll probably still be some discussion on the removal of the commission. But I do like the fact that we're addressing the fetal alcohol syndrome. That's been a big issue for my co-chair and vice chair and, of course, myself. So I think you've done a good job here, Christine, and so we'll open it up to committee questions. The intent is we'll have the fiscal notes in the morning, correct? And so we'll have a complete package, and so I think we'd like to move. These are both big bills, but certainly if the chairman's ready, we'll move Senate Bill 138 and then this bill as well in the morning.
Mr. Chairman, a quick comment, if I may. Jordan, I would appreciate it if you would get, for me anyway, the language needed, or if it is possible, to break out property crimes from the theft level that we have. We have a $500 limit here. And I think this morning I had asked you about that, and if you could get that for me, and I, as long as I know the work is being done and it's something I can look at before we concur, but I'm actually at this point a little reluctant to move it out of committee myself, and everybody else, it's not a sword I'm going to die on. I want that information. I think that's really important to the discussion that we've had about the theft level, and some people make a very good case that, you know, it should go up, it shouldn't go up, and then I haven't heard a lot of consternation about the property damage level. I've heard some testimony about it, but if we could move that up, and maybe that there could be some working between that and the theft level in later committees or over in the House or something like that.
Jordan?
Jordan Schoen, staff to Senator Coghill. I'd be happy to get that information for you. I distributed a graph to the committee last week that showed a breakdown of the number of charges under specific statutes. And of the 15 statutes in the bill that were adjusting that threshold, a majority of those crimes occur in the Theft 2 and Theft 3 statutes. So a lot of the other property crime issues, fraudulent use of an access device, those don't have many charges every year. Most of the charges are seen in Theft 2 and Theft 3, but I'd be happy to get that information for you.
Thank you. Senator Cliff.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, after the comments earlier today, I believe your staff already has made that inquiry, if you'd like to put the response on the record.
Christine, do you have the answer to
this? Mr. Chairman, for the record, again, my name is Christine Marisigan, staff to Senator Kevin Meyer in the Senate Finance Committee. I did make some calls, and I also consulted with the sponsor, and as Mr. Schilling pointed out, the number of crimes that are committed at that threshold for those type of crimes are substantially lower than what it is for theft. Theft tends to be the main place where we're seeing the difference between misdemeanor and felony, and in terms of numbers of crime committed.
Okay, at $1,200, have we moved up the property crime
level as well?
Through the chair, yes, we have.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I recall, I think we had an explanation from Corps, too, on the difference on how they handle felony versus misdemeanor. And perhaps you can, do you want some explanation?
No, that's
you're good? Okay. Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing that I'd like to see is the actual fiscal notes before we move the bills.
Yeah, we're not moving the bill tonight, and Christine believes we'll have them by morning. So that's just the intent, is to get the fiscal notes. Have you taken another look at the bill, and if we're okay with it, we'll move it out tomorrow. With that, I want to thank the committee members. I want to thank my trusty staff. I apologize for the short joke. She's used to it, though.
You guys can tell.
Okay. Anything else come for the committee? Otherwise, we'll be back here at 9 o'clock. See you then. We're adjourned.
Thank you.